98 FM.
Now, Essex Police describe domestic abuse as incidents of controlling, coercive or threatening behaviour, violence or abuse between those who have been intimate partners or family members. Domestic abuse is not just about physical violence, it's often more about controlling behaviour, such as limiting or holding money or emotional or physical abuse. Whatever form it takes, domestic abuse is never accepted and never acceptable and the victim is never to blame. A relatively new organisation, Men Have Rights Too, has been set up here in Brentwood to address what seems to be an imbalance in support services for men suffering domestic abuse compared to those available for women. Well, I'm pleased to welcome Gerald Cash to the studio, who is the founder of Men Have Rights Too here in Brentwood. So, good afternoon, Gerald.
Well, good afternoon.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks for coming into Phoenix today. We've got a serious subject here, so I better put on my BBC announcer voice, I think. But first of all, let's talk about domestic abuse. Can we talk about what it actually is? It's not only violence, is it?
Well, no, actually, there seems to be quite a general distinction between abuse, which is non-violence, and violence. So you often hear domestic abuse being spoken about, and then in another category, domestic violence being spoken about. The abuse one is more to do with emotional abuse.
Yeah.
And the distress. So if we take, for example, a marriage breakup or a partnership breakup, a relationship breakup, there's stress involved in that.
Absolutely.
Now, it depends. If that's an amicable split, then the stress could be reduced. If it's not an amicable split, a lot of name-calling,
yeah,
and a lot of shouting, arguments, huge discussion of who gets what, then you get a lot of emotional turmoil going on.
Sure. Yeah.
If that is deliberate to cause upset to the other party, then you've got domestic abuse.
Okay. And how do these types of abuse manifest themselves in behaviour?
Well, if you've got a continuing relationship with a couple are still living together, it can be all manner of things, like if one person is preparing a meal, is the main person at home. Say we've got a house husband, for example,
yep,
and he's preparing a meal. When the wife comes home, she criticises, says, oh, it's rubbish, you know, you can't cook. Yeah. Well, that can go the other way around, can't it?
Oh, yeah.
And a man can come home from work and criticise his wife in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of similarities here. Simply, you're useless, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
You're supposed to have cleaned the house, you haven't done the iron, you haven't done the washing. All these things, you know, it's fairly routine and typical for both. Doesn't matter whether it's a house husband or a house wife.
Sure, yeah.
Then you've got other areas too where decisions are taken away. So one person becomes the stronger.
Right.
And then it's almost as though one person is afraid to voice an opinion. So they might not want to watch a television programme, but it's more or less forced on them. They might not want to go out at a certain time, but they have to go out at a certain time. Holiday destinations, what they see at the cinema, all this sort of stuff. It's just total control. And that's where, so if you've got an abusive control, then you've got domestic abuse.
Right. So you, excuse me, you've got coercive behaviour and controlling behaviour, yeah, and then it can accelerate into threatening behaviour, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What sort of examples of threatening behaviour can you think of?
Well, if it's if the partnership is still together,
yeah,
the threatening behaviour would be something like, if you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to make life difficult for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anything from that upwards, I suppose.
Oh, anything from that.
Physical violence and
yeah,
all sorts. So is it any different for men suffering domestic abuse compared to women suffering domestic abuse?
Basically, it's very similar.
Yeah.
But there is a distinct difference in that because of this macho image men are brought up with,
yeah,
gender stereotyping. So men have an image to live up to, and they're loath to let go of that image. I'll give you an example. You get footballers who cry,
yeah,
when they lose a football game.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
That's nothing wrong with a footballer crying because he's lost a football game.
Yeah.
You get a man crying to his mates in a pub that his wife has been unkind to him.
Yeah.
That's a
doesn't
bit
happen.
Strange.
Doesn't
it's not
happen.
It doesn't go down too well.
No. Okay. Now, Essex police will not tolerate domestic violence, regardless of gender. They encourage people to report incidents to them. And we will be giving out details later in the programme about various contact numbers. But I believe that Men Have Rights Too came about partly from your own experience of being a victim of domestic violence and partly because you were training to be a counsellor. What happened when you looked into services available for men?
Well, two things there, Bob. When I was a victim of domestic violence, I simply was not believed.
Right.
I would phone up social service. I was a house husband looking after a young daughter.
Okay.
And a baby. When I phoned up social services for help, it actually was written in their report to the court that I was maligning my wife.
Amazing.
And I was just simply asking, what do I do? How do I get out of this? Kafkas at the time wrote reports which didn't reflect...
Sorry, Kafkas. What's Kafkas?
That's the Children's Support Agency. Children and Families Advice... Court Advisory Service.
Okay, right.
So the family courts will ask for a Kafkas reporting officer to go around and visit their homes.
I see,
and
yep.
People, yeah. Write a report for the course. The judge then reads the report and can help make a decision in the best interest of the child.
Right.
So Kafkas didn't report accurately what was happening.
Yeah.
So that was... because I was a male, it wasn't believed.
Right.
I was studying to be a counsellor, and I just started, so it was more or less quite a basic course I was doing. But I had to prepare a list of agencies, support agencies, that were in the area. And I was amazed. I couldn't find anything for male victims, but I could find loads for women.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have had a look myself, and I can endorse what you say, that yes, there are lots of women's refuges and organisations to help women. There's very little available for men, it seems, at the moment. Now, Gerald, I must admit, I was very surprised at the statistics I found on the Essex Police website. It said that at least one in four women and one in six men experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. What evidence is there to show that men are frequently victims of domestic abuse?
Well, there's been lots of, excuse me, there's been lots of research into this in Britain as well as in the United States. Worldwide, lots of papers have been written. New Zealand, Australia, Canada have all produced papers to evidence that the male is quite often a victim. In fact, going back as far as 1986, Strauss and Gellis did some research, and they found that, to quote, women engage in domestic violence at equal or higher rates compared to men.
Really?
So one in four women, one in six men doesn't accurately report the situation.
Yeah. Right, but that was Canada, was it, did you say?
Or that was Strauss and Gellis was research carried out in the United States.
United States, right,
But there's been lots of research carried out far more recently in Britain. I've got a couple of books here published in 2012, Female Offenders of Intimate Partner Violence, and that shows a long history of research and papers that have been written to show that men are equal victims in domestic abuse and domestic violence.
Right, well, it's interesting that Erin Pitsey, who's an English family care activist and a best-selling novelist, who became internationally famous for having started one of the first women's refuges in the modern world, that was Chiswick Women's Aid in 1971. She became the subject of death threats and boycotts because of her statement that most domestic violence is reciprocal and that women are equally capable of violence as men. Now, I did a bit of digging around, and I found a quote from Erin Pitsey from a couple of years ago. Let's have a listen now.
For every two women that die, we never look at the other figure. One man also dies. Women will, when they do murder, tend to use knives, or another thing, they do get other people to do the murders. There's quite a lot of substitution there. Violent people are violent, be they men or women. And quite simply, if you look at what happens in a violent family, all the children are infected. This idea that the feminists try to put about, which only boys inherit the violence through the violent behaviour, is rubbish. Girls are equally affected.
Well, there you go. So it's not just us men saying it. Yeah, care to comment?
I think she is a very, very courageous lady. She was wonderful. She did create the world's first refuge.
Yes, yeah.
She very, very good. And she actually left the organisation she started because she didn't like the intervention of the feminist movement around that time. So she wasn't able to continue with it.
Right, yeah. But
she also made a very interesting quote that of the first 100 women into the refuge back in 1971, I think it was October, 60 of those, she said, were as violent, if not more violent, than the men they'd tried to leave.
Really? So, amazing. Yeah. It is amazing. I mean, you know, I'm learning a lot here. I'm as surprised as possibly many of our listeners are. Anyway, we kind of sort of covered this a minute or two ago, but do you think that men may be more reluctant to report incidents of domestic abuse than women?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is a big, big problem. One reason of the underreporting of male victims of domestic violence is because they don't report.
Yeah.
They don't speak out and they don't seek help because that's not what men do.
Sure.
Men are brought up and the gender roles that are assigned to both women and men, because women suffer from gender roles as well. It's not just men suffering from being stereotyped. Women have this gender role of being the woman, being the caring person who takes care of everything, and the man has the gender role who is the provider and the protector. And society in general doesn't like it if either the man or the woman steps out of those stereotypical gender roles.
Yeah, fascinating, yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier that you've looked at various organisations to look at this sort of imbalance that seems to exist, and I think you found some imbalance in our own Brentwood Council's website, didn't you?
Yes, I did, but I was very fortunate because having discovered the bias, I was at a meeting where the Lady Mayoress was also attending, and I spoke with her, and she took notice.
Okay, good.
And she changed it. For example, on the domestic abuse page on Brentwood Council, it did have a picture of a female victim.
Yeah.
And it spoke as though, well, it hinted that it was females who suffer.
Yeah.
And there was a link to Women's Aid in Basildon. Nothing about men.
No.
That's now been changed, fortunately. The picture has been taken away and a non-gender specific picture has been put in its place, and there's a link now to Men Have Rights Too as well as to Women's Aid.
Excellent. Well, I must say, actually, the Essex Police website, I think, is very good. I've explored it and I think it's fair and balanced until you get to the part that lists organisations that are there to help in cases of domestic abuse. It's not the fault of the police, of course. They're only listing the organisations that are available, but I have to admit most of those organisations are there specifically to help women. There are a few that will help men, including the police themselves. Do you think Essex Police are doing enough to support men?
Need to be a bit careful here.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I've given a presentation about Men Have Rights Too and the work we do to Essex Police headquarters.
Right.
It was well received, but nothing's been done.
Okay.
Essex Police don't want to work with Men Have Rights Too.
Oh dear.
And so they're not going to put a link to my website. Don't ask me why. I could suggest a reason, but I don't think it would be politically correct to do so.
Okay. Well, for balance sake, the police do say on their website, we recognise that domestic violence isn't gender specific and that men suffer too. However, a large number of the reports we receive are from women, so you might find that our advice reflects that. Well, again, that could be because of a general reluctance of males to report these things, yeah?
So which comes first?
Yeah.
Is it that someone is willing to listen, or is it that someone has to shout so loudly they're accused of maligning their partner?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Yeah.
You see, it's really hard. Yeah. I mean, in my case, where could I go to speak? I couldn't speak to anybody. Even my priest said, what, you're a man? You can't defend yourself against a woman?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I take issue with that. Essex Police did have a website in their way down their list, giving a link to a website for male help.
Right,
but that went out of business 2.5 years ago, and it was still shown on their website. A lot of these large organisations have an equalities policy, which in paper sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
In practice, it doesn't work.
Doesn't always work out, no. No. Okay. Now, in early October, you're holding an awareness and training session here in Brentwood. Could you tell us about that and what the aims of the event are?
Yeah. My research when I was doing my degree was into what helps to maintain this stereotypical view of male aggressor.
Right.
And actually, the counselling profession is helping to maintain that stereotypical view. For example, I think it's 2 years ago, the number of registered counsellors with the British Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy, number of registered counsellors were about 36,500.
Right.
Only 5,500 were male.
Okay.
Well, now, if you take that into the training environment, the vast majority of trainers are female.
Okay.
In my course of study, 4 years, to get my degree and become qualified, in my 4 years, not one case study of a male victim of domestic violence. It was all females. Mm-hmm. It was. We were always taught the woman is the carer.
Mm.
And it got so blatant. Textbooks also, I have a few textbooks that I've quoted in my research. They talk about, there was one book in particular called Domestic Abuse, I think it was called. There was one chapter on leaving an abusive relationship. It didn't mention the men.
Right, okay.
And that was a book that's supposed to be about equality and diversity.
Right.
And it didn't. It
right.
was so biased.
So your event is really to raise awareness, is it?
And oh, yes.
Yeah.
I want to raise awareness that men do suffer, but men, for one reason or another, just cannot speak out about it. And so they're missed. So I need to have an awareness that men are victims, an awareness that men do need somewhere safe they can go to and talk, and they will be listened to, and an awareness with local governments and organisations such as the police and other organisations where they will actually recognise that men are victims. How to recognise? Because often in my private counselling practice, I might get a man come to me with anger management problems.
Yeah.
You see, it's acceptable for a man to say he's got anger management problems. It's not acceptable for him to say he's a victim.
Right.
So his abuser is telling him he's got a bad temper, he should seek help. And so he tries to get help because he wants to pacify his abuser. In actual fact, it's not his anger at all.
Right.
He's the victim.
Oh, dear. Anyway, your event, it's on Wednesday the 9th of October, 11 a.m.
Yes.
It's at Merrymead House, which is Merrymead Chase Sawyers Hall Lane in Brentwood. It's absolutely free, and it's followed by a free buffet lunch. But it's suitable for those who are working in the caring professions, I believe, in the medical field, counselling and psychotherapy, social services, voluntary groups, local councils, emergency services, and all those who work with vulnerable adults and children.
Yes, yeah? Exactly. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You've got some bookings already, have you?
I think I have 4 places left.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. if you're interested in attending that event, you can contact Gerald Cash on 07456 257457, or there's an email address. Is this current, Gerald? You're in the process of changing your email, you told me
yes,
the other day.
It should still get to me.
Okay,
yeah.
That's gerald@menhaverights2.co.uk. Now, Essex Police say don't be frightened to dial 999 in an emergency, and you don't have to be experiencing domestic abuse yourself to report it. You can call if you're worried about a friend, relative or neighbour. The police's domestic abuse officers are always available to help. You can contact the Domestic Abuse Central Referral Unit by calling 101 and asking for extension 172340. You can also call the police non-emergency number 101 or call in at your local police station to report domestic abuse. And now, of course, there is your own organisation, Gerald, available to support men suffering domestic abuse. Men have rights too.
Yeah.
Your helpline is 07456 257 457 and an email info@menhaverights2, and you're also on Facebook. So what services do Men Have Rights to offer?
Well, we do, obviously, befriending. We've got the helpline service.
Yep.
So if someone's in need,
yep,
they can phone the helpline. We got befriending service, which is similar to most services. People can phone up and just for support.
Sure. Okay.
There's counselling also. We give one-to-one counselling. We can also extend that to couple counselling or systemic counselling if there's children involved.
Okay.
You have to be a bit cautious with offering couple counselling where domestic violence is concerned, because it could. There's an imbalance of power, so it might not be appropriate, so we have to be careful on that. We also offer training to professionals, so this session we're doing now is the first one, but they'll be followed up by several others for other counselling professions, and that will be advertised in the BACP magazine and other areas.
Sure.
Too. That's important, because if working with a man is slightly different from working with a woman, because this huge macho thing gets in the way.
Right.
And it's very difficult. One thing I'd like to say about that, what you're talking about just now, phoning 999, yes, you can phone 99, but 999, you have to be a bit cautious, because when is the victim going to phone 999? Now, this works for women and men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If that person is phoning 999 because they're desperate to get out of that relationship at that moment.
Yeah.
We need to be careful, because it's the most dangerous time is when the victim decides they are going to leave.
Right, okay.
That's the most dangerous time. So, care there. Now, if you're a male trying to leave, where does he go? There's no refuges.
Mm. Mm.
If you phone the council, although they've got equal opportunities, equal policies, it's very hard. A male telephones?
Yeah.
I've got children. Where can I go?
Yeah.
That's hard for them.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, yeah.
How can a male go and just leave his job? Then he's got no income.
No.
He's probably got a mortgage. How can he walk away from his home? What's he going to take with him?
Yeah, I guess people have to rely on friends or whatever
it's
they
very
can
very important,
do.
Yes.
Anyway, we've quickly running out of time, Gerald. Thank you so much for talking to us today. But finally, can I just ask you, how can people support your organisation?
Oh, if you can do any fundraising activities, wonderful. If you can donate or become a member of Men Have Rights Too, that's wonderful. If you have time to volunteer and help us out, that is also wonderful. Yeah, just contact me and we can chat about it. There's many ways, yes.
Okay, great. Well, I will be putting some more information up on the Phoenix FM website later today. There are a few organisations that can help, and I'll post all the information on my blog on the website, about tea time this evening, about 6 o'clock, including a recording of our chat. So if you'd like to listen again, you'll be able to go to phoenixfm.com and click on either my name or the programme 123, and you'll be able to hear this little chat again. So Gerald Cash from Men Have Rights Too, thank you so much for coming in today. Been fascinating talking to you, and not only in talking to you, but in doing my research for this little slot, I've learnt a lot.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.